What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just drop my second single from my upcoming album, Crazy 8, which is going to be dropping on May 8th. But the second single just dropped today called I Be On It, featuring Josh Morton. You could go ahead and check that out on my official website, katietrop.net. I also dropped a lyric video for the title track, Crazy 8, as well, and you can find that on my website as well. So check it out and look for a new album coming on May 8th. So let's get right into the first round of the NFL draft that happened last night. And, I mean, no real surprises at number one. But after that, I mean, it was a good mixture of a lot of different things going on here with a lot of different players going. I mean, usually, you know, the first round, it's always like quarterback central. And you're always thinking about, oh, who are going to be all the first quarterbacks going? And for once, it really was not a... Not one position was really dominant this year. And even who ended up going number one, to me, I don't know how I really feel about the guy. I mean, obviously he had a great college career, but I don't know how well he's going to translate to the NFL. But you could say that really about everybody who was drafted yesterday. So let's do a little bit of a rundown on the first round picks from last night. Number one overall pick to the Las Vegas Raiders ended up being Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback out of Indiana. Like I said, for me personally, there's really nothing that dazzles me about the dude. But you never know what's going to happen in their career. But it looks like he's probably going to end up backing up Kirk Cousins for his first season, which I think is a good idea. I mean, Kirk Cousins is probably a good quarterback to learn from. I mean, he's been around the league for a long ass time. So just kind of give Mendoza a year to ride the bench and then see what happens next year. But Mendoza, not surprisingly, went to the Raiders because we all knew that's what was going to happen. Then at number two, the New York Jets went with David Bailey, the defensive end out of Texas Tech. Number three, the Arizona Cardinals went with Jeremiah Love, the running back out of Notre Dame. Number four, the Tennessee Titans went with Carnell Tate, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. Number five, the New York Giants went with Arvell Reese, the defensive end out of Ohio State. Number six, the Kansas City Chiefs went with Mansoor Delane, the cornerback out of LSU. Number seven, Washington Commanders went with Sonny Styles, the linebacker out of Ohio State. The number eight pick was the New Orleans Saints with Jordan Tyson, wide receiver out of Arizona State. Number nine, Cleveland Browns, Spencer Fanoe, the offensive tackle out of Utah. Number 10, New York Giants, Francis Maui Goa, offensive tackle out of Miami. Sorry if I butcher any of these names. It's just how it goes. Number 11, Dallas Cowboys went with Caleb Downs, a safety out of Ohio State, which I was absolutely shocked he fell that far and excited he fell that far because that was exactly what the Cowboys needed. They needed a top-tier player on defense, and for me, I felt like it had to be secondary. I think their secondary has been mediocre for the last couple of seasons, and Downs is not only a great safety, but he's also a dude who could play close to the line. So don't be shocked if you see him coming up, maybe not necessarily playing linebacker position, but kind of being in that area on certain occasions, even rushing the quarterback as well. So I'm looking forward to this addition of Caleb Downs as a Cowboys fan. Then at number 12, the Miami Dolphins went with Caden Proctor, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. Number 13, the Los Angeles Rams went with Ty Simpson, the quarterback out of Alabama. Number 14, the Baltimore Ravens went with, oh wow, I am going to fuck this name up. I am sorry. Olaviva Vega Ione, guard out of Penn State. I'm sure you are an excellent guard. I just cannot pretend I'm going to pronounce that name correctly. Then at number 15, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went with Reuben Bain Jr., the defensive end out of Miami. Number 16, the New York Jets went with Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end out of Oregon. Number 17, the Detroit Lions went with Blake Miller, the offensive tackle out of Clemson. Number 18, the Minnesota Vikings went with Caleb Banks, the defensive tackle out of Florida. Number 19, the Carolina Panthers went with Monroe Freeling, the offensive tackle out of Georgia. Number 20, the Philadelphia Eagles went with Mekhi Lemon, the wide receiver out of USC. Number 21, the Pittsburgh Steelers went with Max Iannatchor, offensive tackle out of Arizona State. Number 22, Los Angeles Chargers, Akeem Mesidor, defensive end out of Miami. Number 23, the Dallas Cowboys went with Malachi Lawrence, a defensive end out of UCF. Number 24, Cleveland Browns went with Casey Concepcion, wide receiver out of Texas A&M. Number 25, Chicago Bears went with Dylan Thineman, safety out of Oregon. Number 26, the Houston Texans went with Keelan Rutledge, guard out of Georgia Tech. Number 27, the Miami Dolphins went with Chris Johnson, cornerback out of San Diego State. Number 28, the New England Patriots went with Caleb Lomu, the offensive tackle out of Utah. Number 29, the Kansas City Chiefs went with Peter Woods, the defensive tackle out of Clemson. Number 30, the New York Jets went with Omar Cooper Jr., the wide receiver out of Indiana. And yes, I just said the New York Jets name three times in the first round of the NFL draft. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but they definitely did stock up in this draft for sure. Then number 31 at the Tennessee Titans went with Keldrick Falk, the defensive end out of Auburn. And then last, number 32, the Seattle Seahawks went with Jadarian Price, the running back out of Notre Dame. So rounds 2 and 3 are tonight, and then the rest of the draft is Saturday, and it will be all over on Saturday. But, you know, as I was saying, I actually didn't even watch the draft last night. I actually ended up watching baseball and the NBA playoffs, just because the draft, it's losing its luster for me every single year. It's turning into, they bring too much dumb shit out on stage. They can't just fucking announce a name. It's got to be like, oh my God, look at this, look at that, this person's out here. It's stupid to me. So I actually did not even watch it at all. That's probably why I didn't know how to pronounce a good chunk of those names, because didn't really care to watch it. I had actual sports to watch last night, but, you know, it is always nice to talk about the NFL, but to me, the draft is, it's nice to see, you know, like I said, I was happy about both of the Cowboys draft picks last night, but you never know what's going to happen until they actually hit the field. Hell, some of these dudes never hit the field, even first-round picks. That's why I said with the Jets, it could be a good thing that they got all three first-round picks, or it could be a bad thing they got three first-round picks. Who the hell knows until the season begins? Sometimes these dudes don't pan out for like 3 to 5 years. You just don't know what's going to happen. So, but that's the first round of the draft, and like I said, the draft continues throughout the rest of this weekend. So let's get into the NBA playoffs. Everything was so much better this week. You know, I was telling you, game ones, they were all just complete blowout, runaways, weren't really that interesting. And all the rest of the week actually had some really good matchups, some surprising matchups. Gotta say, one team has a lead right now in their series, and I am super surprised by it because they are playing great. And it's also crazy because they were a team to me that looked like they were just blowing up the team. And they basically traded for one really solid key player who has really just turned it on. And it's just really awesome to see. But let's first get into the Cleveland Cavaliers versus Toronto Raptors matchup. Game two earlier in the week, the Cleveland Cavaliers took game two, 115 to 105. It was pretty much just a dominating matchup for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Dominated from start to finish. Donovan Mitchell had 30 points. James Harden actually showed up in this one. He had 20 points. And then Mobley had 25 points. So it was just all around domination by the Cleveland Cavaliers. But finally, in game three, the Toronto Raptors showed up. And not only did they show up, they showed out. They won 126 to 104. And it was a big game from both Barnes and Barrett. Barnes had 33 points, 11 assists. Barrett had 33 points. And it was just a really complete game from the Toronto Raptors on the defensive side of the ball as well, because really nobody on the Cavaliers was really able to get going offensively. And that's what really just was the edge in this game. Game four is Sunday night. The Cavaliers do have a 2-1 lead right now heading into game four. But finally, it looks like it turned into a series last night. We'll see if the Raptors are able to tie it up or if Cleveland's going to head back to Cleveland with a really nice lead on this series. Then the surprising series to me is between the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks. Now, it's not really shocking that the Knicks are falling behind, especially in these last two games. But to me, it's really the way that the Hawks are playing. The Hawks came to play in this series. Whether they win this series or not, they absolutely came to play. And it's all about CJ McCollum. He, like I said, this is a team that was blowing it up at the trade deadline. They were getting rid of all of their key players and basically just picking up CJ McCollum and Jonathan Kuminga and a little couple guys here and there. And then just, it looked like they were looking towards next season. And all of a sudden, they just turned it on after that those trades. And CJ McCollum has been the dude. Since he became an Atlanta Hawk, he has been the turning point. Don't get me wrong, Kuminga's been awesome too. But McCollum has been money since he was traded from the Hawks, and he's been money in these last two games. So game two, the Atlanta Hawks stole one in New York, 107-106. This one was a close one. McCollum, 32 points. Kuminga, 19 points. By the way, McCollum, game winner in that one. He has been so ice cold since he went to Atlanta. It is crazy. Then in game three, Atlanta got another win. Another close one, 109-108. CJ McCollum did it again. 23 points, had the game winner. Kuminga, 21 points. And heading into game four, Saturday night, Atlanta has the series lead right now, 2-1. Don't get me wrong, I feel like the Knicks are probably going to turn it around. But even no matter what happens in this series, shout out to the Atlanta Hawks. Because like I said, it totally looked like this team was tanking, looking towards next season, potentially looking to maybe go for a lottery pick, for Christ's sake. And here we are. Not only did they make the playoffs, and they were the hottest team after those trades that they made for McCollum and Kuminga and the rest of the crew, basically, almost redid their entire roster, and here they are, absolutely taking it to a really solid New York Knicks team. And we'll see what the Knicks have in this next game. They really have to step it up. Because the Hawks' offense is great, but their defense has clamped it down, especially in game three, because there was this sequence where the Knicks had a chance to actually win the game, but defense at the end took it over, and that's how the Hawks ended up winning in the end there down the stretch. So it's this Atlanta Hawks team is just playing excellent basketball, and it's crazy to watch, but the New York Knicks definitely have to step it up on Saturday night. Then the next series we're going to talk about is the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Denver Nuggets. And Minnesota has completely turned it around in this series. Not shocking, though. This is these are division rivals. They know each other better than any teams in the league, basically, at this point. And they faced off against each other. They're better. Their star players know how to play against their star players. They just know their strengths, their weaknesses, and it's going to be a battle. I will not be shocked if this series goes seven. But Minnesota has dominated the last couple of games. They took game two, 119-114, and Anthony Edwards went off in game two, 30 points, 10 rebounds. Randall had a great game as well, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. And then DiVincenzo, he made some huge plays down the stretch as well, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and some huge defensive plays towards the end. And then game three, they dominated the Denver Nuggets defensively on this one. All their starters were in double digits. The Timberwolves got the win 113-96. This one wasn't even close. Minnesota was suffocating the Nuggets in this one, defensively especially. I mean, Gobert, he always kind of feels like a soft center. And I hate saying that about him because he's won Defensive Player of the Year a few times. And I know he's a good player, but it's just sometimes it feels like he just wilts like a flower in the big moments. And he did not. He's been having a really solid series overall. But yesterday in game three, he was dominating. Jokic had one of his worst games of his entire career in game three. He still had a double-double, but he was so ineffective that the Nuggets could never get going. Jamal Murray could not get going. Aaron Gordon, unfortunately, he was scratched right before the game with a calf injury. So this Nuggets team really was suffocated in this one. Game four is Saturday night. The Minnesota Timberwolves right now hold a 2-1 lead headed into game four. Then the next series we're going to talk about is the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Boston Celtics. Game two, the 76ers finally came to play in this one. It was all 76ers all night. Shockingly, too, because it's not like the Celtics stars showed up. It just kind of felt like it was Brown and Tatum, and then everybody else faded away. But the 76ers were really suffocating in this one, especially Tyrese Maxey and VJ Edgecombe, and hell, even Paul George was there as well. The 76ers got the win 111-97. Maxey had 29 points and 9 assists. VJ Edgecombe had 30 points and 10 rebounds. That's a rookie, y'all. And he's been so great defensively as well. He has been a fantastic. It sucks because he's a rookie. He's playing fantastic this year, but unfortunately, his season's kind of getting overshadowed by both Con Knipple and Cooper Flagg, because both of those guys are having excellent, like, record-breaking years. But VJ Edgecombe, his defense is just stellar. And the fact that he dropped 30 and had 10 rebounds as well in a playoff game as a rookie against a good-ass Boston Celtics team, that was great. And then Paul George had 19 points as well. Game 3 is tonight, Friday, and they are tied up in this series 1-1. So we'll see what happens in that one. But good for the Philadelphia 76ers to finally show up in that one. And they might get Joel Embiid back in this one. So we'll see. It looks like he's a game-time decision tonight. Then the next series we're going to talk about is the Portland Trail Blazers versus the San Antonio Spurs, and the Trail Blazers stepped it up in Game 2. They got a close win, 106-103. Now, here's the thing. Unfortunately, Victor Wembanyama, he smashed his face into the basketball court in the second quarter and ended up leaving in this game because it was obvious. He was out of it. And when I say smashed his face on the basketball court, you got to understand, this is a big, tall-ass motherfucker. So when a guy like this smashes his face onto the court, it's a big deal. I mean, he was very stumbly and wobbly, and you knew he wasn't coming back in that one. And it's possible he may not play in Game 3. So obviously, the Trail Blazers were given a little bit of help with Wemby being out the rest of the game, but still, even so, the San Antonio Spurs actually were dominating this game all the way up until the fourth quarter. The Trail Blazers were down by 14 at one point in the fourth quarter, and all of the sudden, Scoot Henderson and Drew Holiday just went off. Scoot had 31 points, and Holiday, and I keep telling y'all, these savvy veterans are always necessary in the playoffs, and here's Drew Holiday, a champion, with 16 points and 9 assists in this one, and they were just huge down the stretch. Ended up getting this sneaky win in San Antonio. Game 3 is Friday night, and they are tied up headed to Portland. So we'll see what happens with the Spurs. You know, I still expect the Spurs to take this series, even with Wemby down. But like I said, I mean, it's actually kind of shocking he didn't suffer any, like, fractures of his face, because he smashed his face into the court. Like, that had to have been painful as hell. But either way, he may or may not play tonight. It looks like he's also a game-time decision. But don't be shocked if they take him out at least one more game, because I kind of feel like the Spurs, they could survive a couple more games without him. This is a very deep, very good, very talented Spurs team, even without Victor Wembanyama. But they're definitely going to need Wemby to win a championship. Then the next series we're going to talk about is Los Angeles Lakers versus the Houston Rockets. And my Lakers are just dominating these Houston Rockets. I mean, I told y'all, ain't nothing to worry about with LeBron James. Dude might be old as the hills and twice as dusty, but the motherfucker can still ball like there's no tomorrow. And I knew we were getting playoff LeBron. I knew this guy was not going to fall back. I know he doesn't have a problem with it being all on his shoulders. I was just saying, to win a championship, we are going to at least need some help from Reeves and Luka. And we may actually get Reeves back tonight, which is great. But the Lakers are dominating the Rockets. They dominated Game 1. But the Rockets did end up getting Kevin Durant back in this one, but it didn't matter. The Lakers smashed the Rockets 101-94. LeBron, 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists, and had some monster dunks. Sometimes when I see LeBron dunking this year, it feels like it's that extra little oomph on it. Like, I still got it, y'all. You need to watch out for me. I'm still LeBron James. You can fall back and act like I'm the old dude in the building. Nah, I got rings. I know what I'm doing, motherfuckers. I'm still LeBron. But Marcus Smart stepped it up huge in this one, not only defensively, but offensively as well. 25 points, 7 assists, and 5 steals in this one. And Luke Kennard has been so sneaky in these last couple of games. 23 points in this one. And the Lakers have a 2-0 lead headed into game three, which is Friday night tonight in Houston. And like I said, looks like we're getting Reeves back. I think I read before I started recording that Reeves is for sure coming back. I don't know. I didn't really read into it. It was just like a headline I saw, but I think he's coming back tonight, which we really need. Because even though everybody's holding it down right now, we're not winning the championship without Reeves and Luka, just straight up. But it is nice to hear that Reeves is coming back. Luka still on indefinitely out. Looks more like it would be he's not coming around till the second half, the second round, if we get that far, because you never know what's going to happen. But I'm just telling y'all, watching LeBron in these couple of games, it's crazy to see a 41-year-old still play at the level this dude's playing at. And I told y'all, don't worry about him in the playoffs this year. He's going to be good. It's just he can't do it all his own along the way throughout every series. But in this one, I think we're good, especially because Houston's defense been very it's been very invisible in these last two games. And then moving on to the Detroit Pistons-Orlando Magic series, the Pistons showed out in Game 2. They basically disappeared in Game 1, but Game 2, they're like, we're the number one seed for a reason. And they smashed the Magic 98-83. Cade Cunningham had 27 points, 11 assists. Tobias Harris had 16 points and 11 rebounds. And they looked like the typical Detroit Pistons in this one. Game 3 is Saturday night. We're all tied up in the series at 1. So we'll see where we're at after the weekend in this series. But I kind of feel like Detroit is going to... I feel like Game 1 was kind of a wake-up call for them. Like, whoa, Orlando is a little bit better than we think. So, but we'll see what happens throughout the weekend. And then the last matchup is going exactly as I expected. The Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Phoenix Suns. And Oklahoma City is just dominating in both of these games. And in Game 2, they just dominated the Suns 120-107. SGA had 37 points and 9 assists. Chet Holmgren had 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 blocks. He was just killing it defensively. And, you know, OKC is just strangling Phoenix, as they should, because Phoenix is just not a very good team. But Game 3 is Saturday night. OKC is up 2-0 in this series. Let's talk a little bit about baseball. We had some really big losing streaks going this week. And then we also had some really dominating performances as well. So let's start off with Monday. And I was already telling you about the Cincinnati Reds on Monday. And they must have heard me because I had them, I believe, at number 4 on my top 10 power rankings this week. And they just smashed the Tampa Bay Rays on Monday night, 6-1. And their rookie, Sal Stewart, he has been huge this season. He's actually owning every single batting category right now with the Cincinnati Reds. He went 2-for-4 in this game with a home run and 2 RBI. And it's just him and De La Cruz have been money with the not only just like the home runs and the RBI and getting runs, but just getting on base and the stolen bases. This Cincinnati Reds team, very good. I didn't think they were going to be this good this early, but whoa, they are looking really solid right now. Then also on Monday night, the Dodgers had just a dominating game over the Colorado Rockies, 12-3. Max Muncy has just gone bananas this season. He went 4-for-4 in this game with 2 home runs and 2 RBI. Then Miguel Rojas went 3-for-3 with a home run and 2 RBI. And, you know, the Dodgers pitching, Robleski, 7 innings pitched with 3 strikeouts and just a great game, gem of a game for Robleski. And the Dodgers just dominated, but it's like they are just getting so much offensive production from guys who are not named Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Mookie Betts. And those are their 3 top-tier offensive guys. So it's like, I worry about what happens when those 3 guys get hot, because this Dodgers team is probably going to be pretty unstoppable for a long-ass time. And they're pitching. They're pitching, too. Just fucking lights out, and it's pissing me off. Then on Tuesday, the Cincinnati Reds dominated again, 12-6 over the Tampa Bay Rays. And this time, De La Cruz was the guy. He went 3-for-6 with 2 home runs and 5 RBI. So I told you, Sal Stewart and De La Cruz are just getting it done offensively for the Reds. Then also on Tuesday night, the losing streak continued for the New York Mets. They lost to the Minnesota Twins, and it looked like they might finally break their 11-game losing streak. But no, the Twins took it in the end. I think in like the ninth inning, I mean. They won 5-3 and extended that New York Mets losing streak to 12 games lost. In this game, Kershaw had the game-tying and the game-winning runs in this game for the Minnesota Twins. And Kershaw, you know, he's another young guy. There's a lot of young guys this season just blowing it up in the league. And I'm actually going to be talking about another one here in the Wednesday recap of baseball games. But it is crazy. This year, there's just a lot of young talent. Not even like just usually it's like one or two guys that you're talking about. This year, it's I could probably think about 10 really solid either rookies or like second or third year guys who are just going off this year. And it's fun and fantastic to watch. Then on Wednesday, the New York Mets were finally able to break the losing streak. They did get Juan Soto back, and that definitely helped. He did actually get a hit in this game. But the Mets beat the Minnesota, almost called them the Timberwolves, the Minnesota Twins, 3-2 in this one. Mark Vientos had the game-winning single in a win that the Mets just needed. New York sports has just been the laughingstock for years now. I mean, you talk about the Knicks, and it's not even like just current times or past times. It's like all times. It's like the Knicks are always falling apart. The Mets are always falling apart. The Jets, the Giants, hell, even the Yankees are dominating right now, and I'm going to talk about them when we get to Thursday's games. But even the Yankees, you know, they've had their moments where you're like, are you guys ever going to win? And it's just kind of weird because it's like all New York teams basically are becoming the laughingstock of the league, and the Mets are not helping out at all, but they definitely needed to stop the bleeding in that one. And they finally got a win Wednesday. They also got a win Thursday as well. So they've got two wins in a row. Congratulations, Mets. But it is very early on in the season. That's why I don't usually trip out about like bad losing streaks, big winning streaks. There's a lot of baseball to be played, y'all. This is April, and anything can happen. And so you look at a lot of things going on, and even though the Mets just had a 12-game losing streak, doesn't mean that when we hit September that they won't have a 12-game winning streak that gets them the division and gets them a really nice, solid, the first or second seed in the West. You just never know what's going to happen, but they definitely needed to stop the bleeding. And then on Wednesday, you know, I was talking about young guys, but also teams that are just killing it. And right now, the Arizona Diamondbacks are another team that is just killing it, and they crushed the Chicago White Sox 11-7. But the White Sox have themselves a fantastic rookie who has also gone off since game one. But Murakami has had a five-game home run streak right now. 5 games in a row with a home run, and he's a rookie. And he's gone off this year. I mean, literally, since game one, this guy has been money. And it's good for the White Sox because the White Sox have been the laughing stock of the league for the last couple of seasons. So they need some talent like Murakami, and he has paid off. But for the Diamondbacks, somebody else who's paid off, not only has Mike Soroka, you know, another like old journeyman who people kind of forgot about. Nolan Arenado is another one of those old journeymen who everybody kind of forgot about. Well, guess what? For the Diamondbacks, he's been money. He went 4-for-4 in this game with a home run and 3 RBI in this nice win for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then yesterday, the New York Yankees swept the Boston Red Sox 4-2. And Cam Schlittler pitched a gem. I'm telling y'all, when the Yankees get Cole and Rodon back, this is going to be the best starting pitching rotation in the league. They are going to be so hard to score on. But not only are they going to be hard to score on, these dudes are going to be going deep into the game. Because that doesn't usually happen anymore. Usually starting pitchers, a long game for a starting pitcher is like 6 innings these days. But Schlittler went 8 innings yesterday with 5 strikeouts and pitched a gem as well. And so because Cole is known for going deep into games. Cole likes to go about 7 or 8 or 9 innings. Rodon, he's another guy who likes to go 7, 8, or 9 innings. And now you got Schlittler doing that. And you got three guys who can do that. And this starting rotation, I really like this Yankee starting rotation, especially once they get those two back. But it's been great. So, and they're going to need it because their bullpen has been their weakness. But offensively, they are having no issues because now Jazz Chisholm's starting to get hot as well. And he just hit his first home run of the season yesterday. He went 2 for 4. But, you know, I'm telling you, this Yankees team looks like they're going to be getting hotter as the season rolls on because they're getting two really solid starting pitchers back. The offense is starting to roll, and they're starting to look really damn good right now. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.